This is the Lamplight Radio Play.
Human beings in general have a very poor understanding of life as a phenomenon. If you're like most people, when I say life on planet Earth, you probably think of things like lions and elephants, right? But these big terrestrial mammals are actually so rare, we build entire tourism industries around them. That awkward kid on the right is me, by the way. If I ask you to think of life forms beyond the most obvious, you'll probably think about snakes and reptiles, or fish, or bugs. Oh yeah, remember them? There's an estimated 6 to 10 million species of insect on our planet. That's a photo of an anthill in the United Kingdom. 5.5 feet tall, 500,000 creatures live in there. And plants are alive, of course. Now, if you're clever, when asked about animals, you go, wait, humans are animals? And you'd be right, we are animals, as any parent of teenage boys can tell you. And speaking of teenage boys, bacteria are life forms. But what we almost all forget are these guys. That is a fungus. Fungi are one of the great mysteries on our planet. We tend to think of fungi as plants, but genetic studies show they have more in common with animals.
This is Malheur National Forest in eastern Oregon. It's a long commute, but the scenery is great. Okay, here we go. Look, see right there? Those are honey mushrooms. The caps are small, but the rest of the fungus is underneath us. It's these little black strings called rhizomorphs, and they stretch out and out and out. They're really quite long, actually. Well, we think that this particular one stretches 3.4 square miles. It's the largest living organism on Earth. Well, most of the time, they're just hanging out, waiting until conditions are right. Then the little caps pop up in the autumn and eat up all the dead trees. The rest of the year, it's just sitting there waiting.
That's a lot of waiting.
It's pretty cool.
The best estimates put the number of children that are living today around 1.8 billion. Well, it takes a lot of work to get a child all the way to adulthood.
Hey, Dylan, good to see you, buddy. 6 years old now. How about that? Okay, now, can you open your mouth really wide so I can see the back of your throat?
They eat a lot. They get injured. Their lungs and respiratory tracts are prone to infection.
Now I'm going to put this under your shirt. It may be a little cold.
Well, at least from the medical perspective, we do a good job.
Deep breath in. Now, very good.
Well, we have plenty of food to keep them fed.
Big breath
we
in.
Can treat most diseases. We have car seats and fire-resistant pajamas and couches.
Very good. Now, can you give me a cough? Great. All done.
The result is almost all of our kids make it to adulthood.
Your vaccines are up to date. We'll see you in a year.
Well, thank you very much.
Can I please have a lollipop?
Just ask at the front desk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you're probably familiar with the term apex predator. No natural predators, top of the food chain, the kings of the jungle. We humans also consider ourselves apex predators. Even though we tend to think of humanity as separate from nature, even above nature. But the term apex predator doesn't tell the full story. Parasites, for example, can devastate a population, but aren't considered predators.
There's this fungus that lives in the tropical rainforest of Brazil called Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. And if you can't remember that, just Google zombie ant fungus.
Ophiocordyceps' life cycle begins when its spores land on an ant. The spores burrow through the exoskeleton, and as it spreads through the ant, it starts influencing its behavior.
It basically hacks into its nervous system. So the ant just starts walking. It walks out of its nest in the tree canopy, falls to the ground, and just ambles about for a bit.
Then, precisely at solar noon, it has the ant climb up the northern side of a nearby plant to a precise height of 25 centimeters.
The ant will climb up the nearest plant and bite down on a leaf hard. Hard. And then the ant stays there until it dies.
Then the fungus starts fortifying its position. It attaches the ant's body to the stem. It secretes antimicrobials to keep away other invaders. About 5 days later, a tendril of fungus blooms from the ant's head, and from the tip, It drops its spores to the ground.
When you watch a time lapse of it, it looks like a little worm popping out of the ant's head. And that's how it spreads to all the other ants. Because an ant colony is a great place for a parasite. Thousands of hosts living in tight quarters.
Everything about this is very precise. The way the ants move around the forest floor, how they climb to 25 centimeters, how at solar noon that switch flips. Every part is perfect for Ophiocordyceps, and the fungus can wipe out an entire colony.
Did you know that humans share roughly one-third of their genes with ants? One-third. Amazing.
The Port of Los Angeles. 18% of the country's imports come through right here in LA. We call them container ships. This is where all the cargo gets taken off the boats, put on trucks and trains, and transported across the country. See those skinny things driving around over there? Those are actually 45-foot-tall robots. Driverless cargo carriers. Humanity spread across the Earth a long time ago, tens of thousands of years. What's changed over the past few hundred years or so is how interconnected we've all become. Designed in California, made in China, sold literally everywhere. Iceberg lettuce used to be considered a delicacy, now we have it in wintertime. There's always going to be things that kind of like slip through the cracks. You know, we've had 400 years of quarantine laws and rules and regulations and things like that, but we still get pests and rodents and diseases that manage to slip across international lines.
Globalization isn't just about boats. We've had to coordinate on a global level, and as we've opened trade, we've also reduced quarantine rules. So the result is that humans aren't the only life forms that travel.
So I'll show you how well they camouflage. Come over here. See them up in there? I almost didn't see them. I just saw a little bit of shine through the grass. Sure enough, looks like a good-sized python. So we're gonna see what we can do with this guy. My name's Trapper Mike. I'm known as the Python Cowboy. I sleep out in the Florida Everglades and I hunt big ass snakes. Look how beautiful. That's that. Get a bag and go get the next one. The Burmese python has decimated 99% of our native fur-bearing wildlife, and that's a big issue out here in the Everglades.
Just wanna have a little bit of fight in it, huh?
Evolution isn't constant. Most of the time, an ecosystem is stable, and the species in it don't change much. We call that evolutionary stasis. Everyone follow. A species is stable most of the time until a disruption comes along, then it evolves quickly. So are we, like people, all of us in this room, are we in evolutionary stasis? It seems like it, doesn't it?
We people like to think we've outmaneuvered nature, but I think it's like a guerrilla war, nature versus humanity. Nature has so many ways to keep life in balance. Predators exist for each type of prey. If predators can't keep a population in check, then there may be a food shortage or a disease. I guess because nature came first, humanity is the guerrillas. We're improvising our tactics on the run. Or maybe nature is the guerrilla army, laying in wait for the right opportunity.
The term apex predator doesn't tell the full story.
The life forms that happen to have the right mutation can just grow and grow and grow.
An ant colony is a great place for a parasite. Thousands of hosts living in tight quarters.
3.7 billion people live in cities.
Fungi are more closely related to animals than plants.
The designated time of solar noon remains consistent through the transition.
Can you open your mouth really wide so I can see the back of your throat?
Rows of little bodies standing beneath the sun.
Deep breath in.
Going still for a time.
Another one, big breath in.
Then blooming.
Now, can you give me a cough?
That was Apex Predator, based on the story by Samantha Rich, found in Volume 7, Issue 4. Featuring Jamal Douglas, Jesse Marion, Briarly Bishop, Mike Gagne, Emma Shazarko. And the audio of The Python Cowboy came from iWonder TV, a YouTube channel of documentaries of many fascinating people. You can follow The Python Cowboy on Instagram. Adapted and produced by Andrew Wardlaw. One of the striking things about this story is its form, and how that form grows, each section building off of the one before, taking you towards its goal, with no characters, no plot to speak of. When we translate this into audio, we use forms specialized for this: TED Talks, documentaries, moments building a pyramid of facts that stretch to the inevitable. You can find more stories like this on the pages of Lamplight Magazine. You can get a subscription on our website, and we'll send ebooks to your inbox or Kindle. Your subscription supports both the magazine and the podcast. I'm Jacob Hatton, editor of Lamplight Magazine. The Lamplight Radio Play is produced by Andrew Wardlaw and myself. You can follow us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, or on our website, lamplightmagazine.com. See you next time.